the awesome time of year. I mean, with the NBA, NHL overlap with college football, NFL, World Series starting. Let's talk about it. We've got actually a leadoff man to start the hour, appropriate, as the World Series starts in about an hour. He's a returning champ, host of the Wake and Rake podcast as part of the Believe Network. On Twitter for the pod, use at Wake and Rake Pod. For our guest, it's at Danny Vietti. Danny V, always great having you. How are you doing heading into this big weekend?
Hey, you mentioned it. It's the sports equinox, so it's a good time to be a sports fan. I think the last time I was on with you, it was right before Oregon played Colorado, and we all know how that one ended up. So another big matchup with Oregon and Utah this weekend. So I don't know. Maybe it's a good omen.
If Oregon winds up kicking Utah's ass, you're just going to have to come on every time they play. We'll have to work something out financially, but I'm superstitious.
I'm with you there.
So I'm on board with what you and Will Middlebrooks talked about, because it kind of ticks me off when people who are supposed fans, they're like, well, it's going to be low rated, or, you know, when others think about a matchup. But I'm like, 2 years ago, Arizona lost 110 games, Texas 102. Now they're playing for all the marbles. How do you not sit in awe of these franchises and love this as a baseball fan?
No, it's great. You know, and I kind of spoke from my perspective of being a social media manager over at CBS Sports. We're constantly trying to find ways to reach new audiences. Similarly, these professional sports leagues, the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, there's a reason they're going overseas for games in the UK, and they're playing games in Mexico City, because they're trying to expand and grow baseball. And so in this World Series, if it was Yankees, Dodgers, or Red Sox, Phillies, these are franchises that have been around for more than a century. Okay, those fan bases have been around, and they're going to be around for a century longer. Now, instead, we have the Texas Rangers, a franchise that has never won a World Series, and the Arizona Diamondbacks, a team that has won the World Series back in 2001, but they were an expansion team in 1998. So they've only been around for about 25 years. And so you have two populations, Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona. They might be well-equipped and well-inept with the baseball knowledge, but there is a lot of potential to growing fan bases for the Texas Rangers in the Dallas area, and a lot of potential for growing a fan base in the entire Phoenix and state of Arizona area. So I think this is a major opportunity for Major League Baseball to grow to places that they haven't really had the opportunity to until this year.
I should mention, as a Yankees fan, I went to a hypnotist, and I've had 2001 blocked out. So I'm a little shaky.
That's probably for the best.
I've heard rumors. Let's just leave it at that. Do we need to even waste much time talking about MVP? I know Corey Seager had a strong finish, and as great as Mookie Betts is there any way around Shohei Ohtani in the AL and Ronald Acuna as the first 40-70 guy on the best regular season team? Is this at best a limited debate?
Nah, it's chalk. I'm not even going to entertain it at this point. I mean, the American League is as guaranteed can get. It's going to be a Shohei Ohtani. I'd put my house and even my wife. I'd bet both those on Ohtani winning. Don't tell my wife that. Of course.
I promise.
And then for the National League, you're going to see Mookie Betts get some votes. You might even see Matt Olson get maybe a couple, just because maybe you get some random sort of. But I'm not even going to say that, because the Atlanta people are going to vote for Acuna too. So I think Mookie will get some West Coast votes, but it's going to be Acuna on top of the National League.
Yeah, we're talking MLB, Danny Vietti, the Wake and Rake podcast. To me, it's like you can have all the analytics, war, exit, velo. The modern game means you're not going to win it all if your bullpen can't close the door. And I'm looking at Arizona, Kevin Ginkle, who's actually a Wildcat. Ryan Thompson comes over from Tampa. Seawald from Seattle. You guys talked about it. What about these guys not only performing, but on that stage, and especially in front of those nuts in Philly?
It was a bit of a surprise, but at the same time, Torrey Lovello, Diamondbacks manager, talked about it in the middle of that series against Philadelphia, and he always liked the potential of his bullpen. It just wasn't coming to fruition yet. The timing was off. And so they brought up guys like Saul Frank midseason, and their guys got healthy. Ginkle got healthy. They brought over Paul Sewald from Seattle, who has a ton of closing experience. Once they got Sewald, it was like everything was put in motion. After that, the pieces started to fall in place. And so now, between Thompson, Sewald, and Ginkle for a 7-8-9, that's a three-headed monster that should scare some teams, because we just saw what they did against the Philadelphia offense, and a lot of people were considering the Philadelphia Phillies offense to be the best offense in Major League Baseball, or at least the most damaging offense in Major League Baseball. So Torrey Lovello likes his bullpen going forward, and as the last series just kind of taught us, I think everybody should respect him at this point.
You had a great segment with Will, who's, of course, a famous former major leaguer, for folks not aware, 2013 champion Red Sox. And you talked about Torrey Lovello, who made the playoffs as a rookie manager 2017, then lasted the lean years. What did Will have to say about the way Torrey kind of guides this young team?
Yeah, it was pretty great kind of picking the brain of Will. And so Torrey was the bench coach for the Red Sox back in 2013 when the Red Sox did win the trophy and Will got his ring. And Will has just – he thinks the world of Torrey. And I kind of gave him the floor to really explain what makes Torrey Lovello so special. And I'm going to paraphrase here, but Will basically said that it's – Torrey Lovello, he cares so much – that typically you see managers don't have a whole lot of emotion, but Torrey Lovello cares so much and his heart is so big that he also wears it on his sleeve. And so Will would say that he generated the respect because he respected the person that he was and the work ethic and the humbleness about him. But in that same breath, when Will was struggling, he felt Torrey was struggling right there along with him because he cared so much about his players. And so it humanized Torrey Lovello because it was, one, an approachability thing, but it's also a respect thing. So when you respect your manager, but you also have the ability to approach him and have a conversation, have that mode of communication, it's just being a great communicator. So that's really what Torrey Lovello has done with this Diamondbacks franchise. He has just opened up dialogue, and he's welcomed himself into this new culture in Arizona.
No, that was really insightful. I enjoyed the heck out of that. On the Rangers side, I mean, they won four games in Houston at the House of the Champs. You know, they were nip and tuck at the end, lost that race to the finish, lost the bye. But Bruce Bochy, I mean, like one of the ESPN guys said, he literally got off his retirement home couch and then beat the two best teams in the American League before the ALCS. I mean, just what do you even say about a guy like that with his history to step in and get them here?
You know, I grew up in Northern California. I grew up a Giants fan,
right,
so I
right.
was able to witness all of his success in San Francisco. And I think as the game evolved and the San Francisco Giants decided to go a different direction with a little bit more of an analytical approach, they brought in Farhan Zaidi, and then they decided to go a different direction with the manager position, and they went with Gabe Kapler. And so I think it was, again, I'm using that term timing. I think with Bruce Bochy leaving San Francisco, it wasn't a situation where he wanted to leave. I think it was a combination of it was time and the game of baseball was evolving. Now, Texas is a little bit different in that they have a little bit more of a balance with Chris Young at the front or at the head of that front office. He's a former player. So he definitely has guys in his ear using matchups and platoons and suggesting things. But Chris Young, a former player, he's a guy that understands the game of baseball and understands that there is a player side of things. And so I think Bruce Bochy coming back to the right organization in the right position with Texas allowed him to use his abilities. And that's just being a good communicator and having more of a player side of things, because Bruce also was a former player.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm old enough. I remember when he was a catcher. So, and scary to think, I think he's only 4 years older than me, but he's definitely a better manager. A few final thoughts for Danny Vietti, the Wake and Rake podcast on the terrific Believe Network. So, as the 100-win teams, the Braves, Dodgers, Orioles, Tampa 199, fell by the wayside, you heard kind of the cries. It kills momentum, and history says, first of all, 7 of the last 28 teams with the best record won the World Series. I've been like, well, maybe play better, pitch better, manage better. You buy any changes to the postseason format or needed?
Will and I talked about that. I think two things can be true. You know, I don't think that the current playoff format is perfect. But at the same time, I'm tired of hearing people complain about it and using it as an excuse. You know, the Houston Astros didn't seem to have any issues with the layoffs and the first-round buys and their recent experiences getting 7 straight American League championship series. So at the same time, I do think that there is an effect on hitters sitting off for a week and whatnot. But look, if anybody's complaining about the records, it's the 12th best record in the Diamondbacks, the 8th best record for the Rangers. For whatever reason, we all embrace what is March Madness, the NCAA men's basketball tournament, every single year. And it's the most unpredictable event in sports. I think the closest thing to it in sports is the Major League Baseball playoff. I don't think it's unpredictable. Everybody guesses it wrong every single year. And yet every single year we discuss reformatting Major League Baseball. Why do we embrace March Madness but have a problem with Major League Baseball playoff? That's my question. So for those that disagree with the playoff format, that's your prerogative. I hope you have that same approach when it comes to March Madness.
No, I'm all on board with that. And, you know, history shows being the one seed in baseball, winning the President's Cup in hockey, it's not an automatic pass, even to the finals. The last thing I want to get to is, you know, game one is 45 minutes off. Rangers have home field edge. They've got Evaldi throwing, who's won all 4 playoff starts. I don't know, you'd be a little nuts to sell Arizona short at this point. How do you see this one? You have a lean first title for Texas, number 2 for the D-backs, or do you have a coin with you and you're going to flip it?
I think it's going to be a fun series, no doubt. Both teams, just a lot of emotion, a lot of young energy. Both teams just should be really proud of, you know, getting to this point. I mean, 2 teams that both suffered 100-plus losses just 2 years ago. With that being said, I think Texas's offense is going to be a lot to handle for Arizona. It's not that I don't respect Arizona. It's just the mere fact that when they pitched against Philadelphia, the Phillies 1-9 could take you deep. But they weren't as good as the Texas Rangers are at getting on base. The Texas Rangers had the highest on base percentage among postseason teams this year. It's different when you're giving up solo bombs. You can kind of do damage control, and that's what Arizona did against Philly. With Texas, they have base runners constantly. You're in the stretch. You very, very rarely are opposing pitchers against Texas in the windup. I think it's just going to be a lot for a 7-game series, especially the road that the Diamondbacks took. I applaud them, but I think at this point they're just going to come up a little bit short. I think Texas is just going to be too much offensively.
That is a whole bunch of great information, folks. He's Danny Vietti, does a terrific baseball podcast with Will Middlebrooks. It's called Wake and Rake. It's part of the Believe Network. You can follow Danny on Twitter for all sorts of great information and MLB talk. Use the handle at Danny Vietti. Hey, Danny, great having you. Appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the series, and of course, look forward to catching up soon and maybe light up the hot stove.
Always. Same to you. Enjoy the series. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.